First, I want to welcome Father Rodriguez, who's celebrating today. He's visiting our community for a few days, so thank you, Father, for being with us. Our solemnity today is very special, not only because it's one of the three nativities that we celebrate in the liturgical year. Think about that. Normally, the feasts of the saints are their birthday to heaven, so the day of their death, their martyrdom. But there are only three nativities that we celebrate. The nativity of Christ, obviously, then the nativity of John. And these are the two very early celebrations of the nativity, meaning by the early church. And then the nativity of Mary. But when we think about the nativity of Jesus and the nativity of John, we see that there are some very beautiful parallels. These two celebrations are very closely connected. They are both celebrated around the 24th of a month. There were a number of extraordinary events preparing the birth, particularly two annunciations that we find in the Gospel, the annunciation to Mary and then the annunciation to Zechariah. Then the miraculous events surrounding the birth itself, the fact that we celebrate two chosen boys that receive a very special name, etc. There is one difference that is very beautiful and very eloquent, even if you will. In the early church, they were very wise about these things. They were able to see a connection between creation, what was happening in creation, in nature, and what happens in the liturgy. We know that right now we are officially in the summer, and therefore there's a lot of light. The days are very long, right? But precisely beginning these days, the days actually begin to get shorter and shorter. So if you think about that, beginning again from these days, there is less and less light every single day. So there is a decrease of light until we get to which days? The days of Christmas. And it is precisely the days of Christmas that we begin to receive more and more light, and the days get longer. So light increases. So we hear about decrease and increase. Does that ring a bell? That's exactly the way in which St. John the Baptist understood his mission. And he said that he, Jesus, must increase and I must decrease. And this is not only very beautiful, it is, but this is also very meaningful for us because this can help us understand how this celebration is important for us as well. Because this short phrase, he must increase, I must decrease, is true for every one of us. So Jesus must increase in our lives. Now how? Both in the entrance antiphon and in the collect prayer, the opening prayer, we remember that John came to prepare a people fit for the Lord. So let's think about this in two ways. First, us here, and then second, going out. So let us reflect for a minute now on us as a community of faith. We must become more and more a people fit for the Lord. Now, in many ways, we are a people fit for the Lord, and that's why we are gathered here. But of course, we also know that there is always room for more love and therefore for growth. One of the big risks that we have, Catholics that come to Mass and believe, is that at some point in our lives, we may get a little bit complacent, meaning we know how this works, we know our prayers, we go to Mass, we do probably a number of other good things, but perhaps faith is not that challenging anymore. We don't have to change much. Sure, we're not that great, but we're not that bad either. We practice some things, etc. Now, of course, our faith is much more than that. To think about John the Baptist, among other things, is a reminder of the risks of believing in Christ. John had to give his life. He died because of his witness to Christ. But what about us? We don't see a lot of risks, right, in our faith. It is good to remember today all those who die because of their faith. The numbers are actually shocking in the world, but we don't see this with our eyes. It's not very close to us, but we're not just talking about the first century. Like last year, the estimated number of people, of Christians who died because of their faith is 100,000 people. That's shocking. We don't even think about that. The risk is that it might get too easy and too comfortable for us. But not only because, yes, the risk of martyrdom is very far. We should actually think about the other kinds of persecution that are real. Because as we know very well, our society, in a very aggressive and fast way, is becoming more and more against the values of the gospel. It is already hard, and certainly harder than 10 years ago, to try to practice our faith in the public sphere, to say what we believe. It's so hard, and it will only get harder and harder. So the simple question is, are we ready? And what about those who are coming after us? What about the kids present here? What are they going to face? And how are we going to be faithful to all these real challenges? And a key answer, we've reflected about this before, is that faith has to become culture. And by culture, I don't only mean beautiful things, arts, and all of that, but just our environment, our human environment, our life. It's as simple as that. Faith has to become our daily life, not just the 1 hour a week, or maybe even the 1 hour a day in which we pray, but our life. Faith has to inform absolutely everything, our ways of thinking, our ways of working, of studying, our interactions, our way in which we eat and have fun, in which we raise our kids, we educate, we make choices. Faith has to be our life. There are many ways in which we can try this. We have been trying one way, and we want to continue to try because we're very grateful about the beautiful fruits, and that is our initiative, Rebuilding Culture. And as you know, the idea is very simple. Faith certainly has to be catechesis and things that we learn, but faith has to be more than that. We need to learn how to live as Catholics in many ways. So today we're going to launch the new semester of Rebuilding Culture activities, and you will find in your bulletins, inside the bulletin, this brochure, where you can see all the different events that we have planned for this upcoming semester. And there are great things. We have a new series about culture, as in cultivate the land and liturgy and all of that. We have some interesting dialogues about complicated issues, about media, about marijuana. There are many questions that we have that we need to face. We're going to continue with supper clubs and book clubs and learning languages and all of that. This is one way, not the only way, but a good way in which we can grow so that our faith can become our life. So I'm going to ask you just one simple favor. Make sure you do get a bulletin, even if normally you read it online. Get a physical one so that you can get this brochure and take a look at the different things. And try to participate at least in one throughout the semester, at least one event, one talk, one workshop, one. And I'm sure you're going to get something very enriching. The other point about becoming a people fit for the Lord, not only just about us as a community, but going out, is outreach, evangelization. And the point is very simple. If faith is not shared, if we don't make a constant effort for sharing our faith, faith withers. But if it is shared, it grows. Now, I want to recognize something that happens to all of us. At times, again, we get used to our faith and maybe our faith is not as powerful or surprising as it was before. Maybe we don't necessarily feel even proud of our faith or with a desire to share what we believe. Try sharing your faith, and you will see a great renewal. St. Augustine has this beautiful image of precisely a situation in which we don't know what to say or even why. And he said this: don't we all experience when a visitor comes, a friend, a relative comes to our place, to our town, And we, what do? Well, we take this person around, we show him, her, this monument, this building, this mountain. Isn't it true that it is precisely in doing so that perhaps we see with renewed eyes and gratitude that thing, that mountain, that maybe we see every single day? And because we see it every day, we're used to it. No big deal. Not that we don't like it, but we don't even think about it. But when we have to say something about that beautiful mountain, suddenly we start appreciating anew that which is our life. That's exactly what happens with our faith. So we've tried many things. We've tried Mission Week. We've tried Mission Month. Now we're going to try to spread all of these great events throughout the year. Not that the 52 weeks of a year are going to be Mission Week, which will be really crazy, too intense, but rather, precisely, we want to spread out throughout the year all these different appealing, low-pressure, welcoming, creative events that are great and simple opportunities to invite people to come and experience some of the joy of our faith. And the point is, we've received so many blessings as a parish. We don't even need to mention them. We know that we should be not only grateful, but also filled with zeal to be generous, just as the Lord is so generous, and to take risks. Imagine some of these formation events where a third or half of our parish attended. Imagine that growth in so many areas. Imagine, dream about an outreach event in which each one of us brought one new person. You know, dream about how many people would get to experience the warmth of Jesus and the church. We don't need just to imagine or dream, because we've done it and because we want to do it again, but even more, with greater joy and greater commitment. So may St. John the Baptist pray for us, so that we can realize today again that we all, no exception, we all have been called to prepare the path of the Lord, so that in that way he can increase in our lives, and through us, then we can become actually a people fit for the Lord.